Hey, fellow leaders, you know what this bell is for? It is our wake-up call. As you know, the world is shifting at a lightning speed. Technology is rewiring the rules. Generations are colliding in values and expectations. AI revolution is totally unfolding right in front of our eyes, and it is going to flip our world upside down before we can blink. So in this storm, the question is if this change will hit you. It is how prepared you will be when it does. Will you be the leader who panics, or will you be the leader who transforms pressure into the greatest possibilities? That is why we created this show, is to give you the greatest opportunity in the history of leadership. Right now, if you know how to lead with clarity, courage, and with higher consciousness, you are going to be able to transform any of these storms and make it your biggest advantage. So this show is going to get you ready to be the next super conscious leader of this planet. Remember, in the age of AI, you do not need to be superhuman. You just need to be super conscious. Welcome to A Super Conscious Leader. I am Dr. Adil Dalal. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to the show. Today, we have an amazing guest who is not only a trailblazer in business, but also in social justice. Nicole Anderson, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Thank you, Nicole, for coming in and granting us this interview. As you know, my audience, I'll give them a little bit of a highlight of your career, and then you can jump in and talk a little bit about yourself. So Nicole is a founder and CEO of Mend HR Solutions, a nationally recognized HR and recruiting firm, and the founder of Love Inspiring Life. What a beautiful name. A nonprofit dedicated to combating sexual exploitation and trafficking. She's an author, speaker, award-winning changemaker who's been featured on slew of TV shows and even on Forbes. So Nicole, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to speak on leadership with you.
Thank you, Nicole. Nicole, let's jump in and talk a little bit about your background. I'm really amazed that you have a business side to you, and also the social justice, which is so important today in today's world. So thank you. And that kind of is one of the perfect leaders who is super conscious, because it just goes beyond the bottom line, right? Beyond the profit and loss statements. So can you give a little bit about your background, please?
Absolutely. So I've been in the human resources field for over 20 years. And nine and a half years ago, I went out on my own and decided to start my HR recruiting firm. My HR and recruiting firm. And the reason for that is putting the human back in human resources. I experienced a lot of companies that just did not focus on the employees. And I knew that there was a better way to human resources. And so I started my company and started, I've worked with over 350 large, medium, small, and startup companies over the last 9 years. And I've helped them in leadership. I've helped them in everything that they've needed, and put my expertise and my human factor into what we were doing. And then 3 years ago, I had already always known that I was going to open a nonprofit. I just didn't really know the focus of it. And then we opened one to do women's conferences to support women in leadership, and it changed into and slowly morphed into being a voice for those who have been sexually exploited and trafficking. And so that is what we do with our nonprofit now. So we provide resources, we provide all types of things for individuals who have been involved or people that you don't know that have been involved. We do intelligence to try to find those individuals. And so that's what our mission is to hopefully at some point eradicate that industry.
Oh my God, this is so wonderful. I mean, what you're doing is really so much needed today, and it's sadly, you know, there is a good side of humanity and there is an ugly side of humanity, and you know, you're doing something to help the right people. So thank you very much, Nicole.
My pleasure.
Nicole, from the leadership point of view, you know, communication is one of the most important things in communication. Even good communicators, what I've found is they tend to wait too long to really get their voice out there or to make some decisions. Could you, give us a little bit of information? Because I am guilty of the same thing sometimes. I take a little too long to, if it's a tough conversation, you sometimes just delay it as long as you can because, you know, you feel you don't want to hurt others or you don't want to get into that difficult situation. What do you recommend leaders? How should they handle the situation, please?
So I think the main reason that leaders don't have those conversations is because of comfortability, right? Like they're not comfortable having those conversations, and then they come into the fear of confrontation because they don't know how generally the conversation is going to go. And so if someone starts becoming, you know, aggressive, confrontational, they don't know how to handle that. So I think that the reason they wait too long is out of fear. I do know that there's a piece of waiting for those conversations for the right moment because you have a big project everybody's working on, or you're coming into the end of the year. There's little nuances like that that sometimes affect why communication isn't given to the employees. However, the majority of the time, it's not given because of the comfortability of it.
I see. That is really, I agree with you totally. What is the damage leaders do if they wait too long to have those conversations?
Well, I think that depends on what the conversation is about, right? Like the damage is going to be different. If there's major changes within the organization and those aren't communicated properly, then the organization then poses a risk of people leaving because they didn't have enough information. If you have employees that it's a performance situation and they're underperforming and they're causing havoc on the team, then you run the risk of damaging the team and trust and leadership because of that. And I think that sometimes the damage that can be done from lack of communication affects the bottom line. It really does. It affects productivity. It affects performance. It affects all the way around.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think, I'm guilty of waiting too long. Even if I know that a person is not performing, could also be disastrous because it just festers. And as you correctly pointed out, sometimes it does impact the performance of the team. So what is the mindset a leader should have as they get into this kind of conversation? How should they approach this?
Well, I think they should have all the information, right? Like know exactly what communication needs to be provided. Sometimes I will recommend to leaders, like create a PowerPoint and do a workflow. Like this is what we have to do. This is how we have to do it. And this is by when we have to do it. Especially for big, large changes or things that need to be communicated for performance reasons or talking directly to the team, I think having a plan, like even if you do a small plan on your, you know, on Word or something, like this is, these are my talking points. This is what I'm going to say. This is when I'm going to say it. I think that the plan around communicating helps make it more effective. And then it gives you a little bit more comfortability when we have to have, you know, the not so good conversations with employees, with my clients. I always have them scripted out first. I have the leader script out what they want to say, how they want to say it, and then I review it, and then we move forward from there. And that way they know exactly what they're going to say, and then I'm there to help support some of the questions that might come up.
That is a smart move. That really helps you kind of plan it out quite well. How does a leader balance honesty with empathy? Because, you know, being too honest can hurt others. What do you recommend there?
This is where that human factor comes in, right? Like I always say, there was a time that you were an employee and there was a time that you were somebody that had to look up to leadership, that had to listen to leadership. And so I want you to remember that feeling and how you felt when you were having that, when somebody was having those conversations with you. And I make them go back in and think, you know, internally. And then once they do that, I think that it's a lot easier to come out and say, okay, I understand where you're at, but this is the information that I have to give you. And we have to have a conversation and be as honest as possible. But if there's confidential stuff that you can't share, then don't share it. But be as honest as possible, but also remember that you were in their spot at one point.
Do you think HR has got a bad rep?
Oh, of course it does. Like I've read all the chats. All the Reddits and all the TikToks of people doing nothing but complaining about HR. So I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah, I think that, yes, they do. And, you know, any meeting which HR is in, everyone, you know, antenna is all the way up, right? Because they presume that they are noting down everything they're saying, which may be true. So, no, this is, you know, great. So thank you very much, Nicole. Very good start to the program. Let's take a quick break and we will come back on a super conscious leader. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Imagine partnering with a firm that fuses lean precision with AI foresight, turning every process into a profit engine built on the foundation of operational excellence. Hi, I am Dr. Adil Dalal, founder and CEO of Pinnacle Process Solutions. For 20 years, we have empowered over 9,500 leaders across 25 industries and 5 continents and delivered savings from $1 million to $39 million via rapid transformations using AI, digital tools, lean, agile, and Six Sigma technologies. Through our award-winning workshops, lean AI frameworks, and human-centric coaching, we elevate culture, eliminate waste, and ignite sustainable operational excellence. Elevate your people, accelerate your performance. Visit pinnacleprocess.com and reach your pinnacle today. And we're back. Let's continue this powerful conversation. Welcome back to A Super Conscious Leader. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to A Super Conscious Leader and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app, or you can watch the show on Roku, iOS, or basically watch it on any of your favorite podcast shows. Roku, iHeartRadio, you know, any other channel you would love to watch it on. Or you can also watch it on nowmedia.tv. Do not miss any of the Super Conscious Leader. Airs every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central. We're back with Nicole Anderson. Nicole, we had a fantastic conversation in the first segment. In this segment, I wanted to dwell a little bit about a lighter topic. You have written a very, very interesting book called HR is Sexy. So, you know, it kind of is opposite to what we were talking about HR in the first segment. So just what made you write that book? And can you give us a little bit of insight into that book, please?
So I wanted people to see that there was a different way to do HR. Like, it didn't have to be done the 80s, 90s, and early 2000 ways where it's like that person does papers, discipline, and fires people. And that you can get HR more involved in the human aspect, and that us HR leaders, we're able to be more entrepreneur with our business owners and help our business owners make decisions that affect their business. And so I decided to write the book. It's written in three sections. So it's written for leadership, human resources, and employees. So it gives employees kind of, you know, a way of like how to be an employee, gives HR and how you should be HR, and then leaders, how they should in an ever evolving workforce or workplace become better leaders. And I think that it's just driving home the point that we don't have to do everything the way that it's always been done.
Correct. So it's a new way of thinking, putting a different kind of a prism on HR, which is really important, right?
Today, yeah, and I use a lot of sports analogies because I'm a huge sports fan. So there's a lot of sports analogies in there.
Awesome. And so, Nicole, if an employee who is, you know, wanting to have a tough conversation with HR, what advice would you give in your book or in general to an employee who wants to have a very difficult conversation there?
So I would say to the employee, the first thing is make sure you have everything down that you need, as much information as possible that you need to have that conversation about. I think the employees need to understand the expectations as well. Right? Like, they need to have their expectations of what's going to happen. So they need to do their research and understand that whatever, like what their complaint is, whether it's discrimination, what it's harassment, you know, different things like that. Like, I think that they really need to educate themselves. And then they need to understand that HR is probably not going to have the answer at that moment. And I think on the HR side of it, the HR person definitely needs to be able to provide transparent information about what the employee can expect throughout the process. I think that because HR has such a bad rap, that employees are unsure, don't want to go to HR because they don't feel that anything's going to get done. And in most cases, that does happen. And I truly apologize to those employees that had those that issue. Mm-hmm. However, if they don't say anything, it just makes everything worse for them. Because it's bottled up, they don't perform well, they're miserable. Nobody wants to come to work and work 40 hours and be miserable. So I think the advice is, you know, go in having done your research, have the information on hand, and then provide it to the HR representative.
Excellent. Really good advice, Nicole. Thank you. What is the quirkiest situation you had to face as a HR person or the quirkiest decision you had to make?
I think that, like, you know, I could probably write three books, maybe four.
Oh, wow.
Like, I told somebody last week that that I always think that I've seen it all. And then all of a sudden I get something else and I'm like, well, nope, I haven't seen it all yet. I think the quirkiest decision I've ever had to make was I had an employee one time that bragged to another employee that she poisoned her own food.
Wow.
And so I called the employee into the office, obviously, and said, hey, we had an anonymous letter under our door that said that you poisoned your own food. And she goes, yeah, because somebody was stealing my food. And I was like, okay. I was like, could you have told us first that somebody was stealing your food? And she goes, well, it happened 6 months ago. And I'm like, you just now poisoned your food? And she looked at me and I said, you do realize that that's a crime, right? Like, yeah, it's a legitimate crime to poison your own food. She goes, no, it's not. And I was like, oh, it is. And I said, wow. Yeah, so that was probably, I mean, we had to fire her, obviously. And so that's probably like the quirkiest thing I can say. Like, I was not prepared for somebody to tell me they poisoned their own food.
I would not be prepared for something like that either.
No, and wow. I was like, I knew it was a crime, but I had to go do my own research afterwards to kind of find out what our next steps were. But I told her that, like, there's a complaint process, you know, go through that. We could have put cameras by the refrigerator, you know, to catch whoever was taking your food, but to poison.
Yes.
I mean, that if somebody did take it and you had poisoned your food, you could have killed them.
Absolutely. Wow. That's, I mean, immature of this person, right? Probably didn't know what they were doing.
Or they just didn't care.
Yeah. What was the toughest decision? Have you ever, what's the highest level of leader you had to ever fire or reprimand in an organization?
I've had to fire CEOs. I've had to fire the top people.
Are you joking? Wow.
No, I am not joking.
How does that work?
So,
do you go to their office or they come to your office?
Normally, I will tell you, probably. So I'm sure you've seen, there's a movie with George Clooney where that's what he does, is he drives around the country and fires people at C-suites.
Up in the air, I think, is it?
Up in the air. yeah. And so I do that, unfortunately. Okay. So I have, the toughest one I had to do was I had to fire an entire C-suite. We called them into the boardroom. And I had to let them all go. Very valid reasons. The company was not doing well. And then they found out that the majority of the C-suite was embezzling the money. And we had the facts. So I pulled them all in the conference room and I let every one of them go. And that was probably the toughest because, I mean, there was a lot. I mean, there was like five or six C-suite individuals. And then after that, after they were terminated, the board asked me to fire the CEO as well, because it had happened right under his nose.
Under his watch. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's probably the toughest.
But the CEO is your boss, correct? So
not necessarily. It depends on who hires me. And sometimes owners aren't CEOs, right? So sometimes board of directors hire me to come in and make changes. And so they oversee the C-suite. And in some companies, the CEO is the owner and, you know, I have not fired them. I have had difficult conversations with them on how they need to change their behavior if they want their organization to be successful.
Excellent. Nicole, very, very insightful and fun conversation. How can my audience find you?
So they can absolutely find me on Instagram, Nicole Anderson 5, or on LinkedIn, Nicole Anderson 5-HR. Our website, mendhr.com, or hranswers@mendhr.com.
And how can they find out more about your nonprofit, please?
Loveinspiringlife.org. There is a lot of information on there. And then our Instagram page is Guarding Innocence.
Excellent. And last but not the least, your book. Where can they find your book?
Amazon. The original online bookstore. So they can find it on Amazon and they can purchase it in paperback or hardback.
Excellent. Okay, folks, do not go anywhere. We'll be right back with a super conscious leader. Thank you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Imagine partnering with a firm that fuses lean precision with AI foresight, turning every process into a profit engine built on the foundation of operational excellence. Hi, I am Dr. Adil Dalal, founder and CEO of Pinnacle Process Solutions. For 20 years, we have empowered over 9,500 leaders across 25 industries and 5 continents and delivered savings from $1 million to $39 million via rapid transformations using AI, digital tools, lean, agile, and Six Sigma technologies. Through our award-winning workshops, lean AI frameworks, and human-centric coaching, we elevate culture, eliminate waste, and ignite sustainable operational excellence. Elevate your people, accelerate your performance. Visit pinnacleprocess.com and reach your pinnacle today. And we're back. Let's continue this powerful conversation. Welcome back to A Super Conscious Leader. You can catch us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central. And if you missed the show, you can always download the Roku, iOS, or watch us on podcast, your favorite podcast station, or go to nowmedia.tv and watch us there. We're back with a special guest today, Nicole Anderson, a specialist in HR and also in social justice. So wanted to just talk to Nicole a little bit about what is the missing piece in HR today. Corporations, as we are getting into the world of AI, we're getting into a world which is shifting very rapidly. I think the rug under leaders is being pulled very rapidly right now. There's a tsunami of all the technological changes which are happening. How will they stay human? What is, I believe that mind, body, spirit is important. And I ask most of my guests is, what about the spirit part? Why is that missing from corporations today? What would you say?
Well, I think that there's this unwritten rule that politics and religion and, spirituality stays out of the workplace. And the reason is because it can create very heated discussions and conversations. And, everybody has their opinion, they have their right to speak and their right to say, what they feel about that. And especially with the political climate that we have now, it gets really heated really fast. And I think that that's the hard and fast rule. But I think that most companies will allow the conversation to happen, but I don't think that there's much desire to allow it to come in fully and allow that to assist in helping promote the business or, help the business perform with the employees. Now, there have been very successful companies that have brought religion and spirituality into their business. I think it's easier if you're a startup and starting that culture versus not having that culture and then all of a sudden implementing that culture into your company, because then you have the shock value that happens.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. Is that owners have a little more kind of leeway in getting this in, and at an earlier stage, if they keep it non-denominational and not focus on a particular religion. But to me, religion and spirituality are very separate. So, for example, if have you encountered any company which has said, hey, let's put in a meditation program or a yoga program for our workforce, what would you say to them?
So I've seen that a lot more in your tech companies that are a little bit more relaxed and a little bit more, not so corporate. They want to be a little more casual. I have seen that implement. Sometimes with corporate health benefits, they offer the ability for companies to have this wellness mind-body sessions that come into the workplace and provide these. And I think they're very successful when they're done. The problem is that it becomes really expensive for most organizations to be able to upkeep that type of mind-body wellness. But if they can utilize what the health insurance plans offer, then it can help curb some of that cost.
And Nicole, firsthand, have you seen any benefits of these kind of programs being implemented in an organization?
So personally, no, but statistically, yes. If you read any of the research of the companies that do put these programs in place, then you will see the trend towards better performance, less stressed employees. Health visits are down because employees aren't as stressed. Mental health in the workplace, so you find more people that are able to handle things better, and emotional intelligence falls into that as well.
And absenteeism, right? There is a direct impact on the corporations. And actually what you're saying is right. I talk a lot about stress, and because I'm seeing that I work across 25 different countries, and I've seen stress go up sky high everywhere. And the statistics also says that there's $1 trillion lost in economy per year due to stress and anxiety. So these kind of programs, and one of the book I've written is on power of visualization. I think that's another tool which corporations are not using to really get people centered and get them into that understanding that there is more to it than just the left brain, the logical brain. They need to start using creativity and other tools to really get the productivity and the performance up for them. So I'm hoping that in future corporations start employing some of these things because there are direct benefits to them. And do you see HR taking a leading role in that ever, where they would say, let's put in some rules and regulations. Let's write about that, Nicole.
Yeah, let's write about that. I mean, I would love to see it. I really would. I would love to see HR moving more into the wellness and mind, body, and spirit, right? And understanding human emotion and being able to be a proponent. A lot of HR people will argue budgets and funds, right? They will say that the company doesn't allocate enough funds to us and we won't be able to do this. But if they could take the statistics and show it to an executive team, it's like a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. Absolutely. It's the numbers are there. But it needs a little bit, more kind of risk-taking because there is, some employees may come back and say, I didn't sign up for that. And so making it voluntary could be another option for them to do that.
Yes.
Nicole, shifting a little bit to, what you're doing with the nonprofit, that is a totally different field of what you're trying to do do you see exploitation of this kind even in workplaces? And how it's sad that it happens even today. How do you curb that? How do you proactively give us a story or something which you encountered and how you handled them?
So in the workplace, there's a little bit more structure around it. Typically, there's a little bit more structure around what we can find out, what information we have. And a lot of the companies that we go in, they already have policies in place or the technology where you can see what website somebody is going to.
Right.
But when you have in a workplace and you work with customers and you work with people from the outside, you tend to see things or observe things that, are like just not normal in, and being able to call that out and do something. And we did have an organization that I worked with that had a situation of what could have potentially been an exploitation abuse scenario. And so they brought that information to us. We worked with leadership team. We found out that there wasn't much that we could do from a company perspective, but in order to help employees feel more comfortable about addressing those issues when they happen, is set up sex trafficking training and sexual exploitation, exploitation training. And I know, like, in a lot of areas in the, in a lot of cities in the US, there are organizations that can provide that training to help companies, you know, especially those who work with the public, identify when there are issues arising. But I think in the workplace, just continue monitoring. I think the hardest part is if somebody's doing something outside of work that you're not aware of, and then they're coming into work, and then all of a sudden you find out they were arrested for a situation. As an organization, there's not much you could have done to prevent that at the workplace. However, making sure that you have all your things in place with IT, your policies, your procedures, and then putting trainings in place that help.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a sad, you know, part where HR needs to get involved. But have you seen it in the reverse order, where women bosses are also exploiting a male? Have you ever encountered that?
Yes, it happens. It happens quite often. It is. Wow. Yeah, it does. And a lot of people don't see it or understand it, but it's a power dynamic is typically what it is. Someone has some power. And so now they are going to exploit or harass or do something to get what they need out of somebody that is somebody else. And that other somebody else happens to be a male.
Wow. That is a immediate firing, right? As soon as you find out, you
can prove it. Obviously, you have to be able to prove that there was no consent or anything like that. And then once you do that, then yes, you can terminate immediately.
Mm-hmm. I had to do there was a male. He was a temporary employee, but he was harassing a lady in our workplace. But we didn't know for almost 6 months, she didn't never mentioned anything. And we came to know through the grapevine, HR and I was a vice president at that time. And we got to the room, we questioned her, we questioned a few other people. And that same, very same day, that person was let go. But, you know, she could have mentioned that early on, she could have avoided a lot of the things which happened to her, sadly. So sometimes speaking up on time can be very helpful for the HR people too, right?
Absolutely. And I think people are under the impression a lot of times that vendors, like vendors or people that come into the business, like it's not considered workplace harassment or workplace sexual exploitation or harassment, but that's just not the case. And so like if somebody has a vendor or somebody from outside that is harassing them, they need to report it immediately because that is something that can be taken serious and it can be fixed. But I think a lot of times employees miss that aspect of it and they're like, well, they don't work for the company, so there's nothing that can be done. And there absolutely can and will, should something
should be done immediately. Absolutely. Great. Thank you very much. I think, Nicole, in the final segment, I want to get a little bit into the AI and how our world is going to change and why, you know, the need for super consciousness is so important in leadership today. So folks, do not go anywhere. We'll be back with Nicole Anderson and go deep into what super conscious leadership will be in the age of AI. Thank you very much. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Imagine partnering with a firm that fuses lean precision with AI foresight turning every process into a profit engine built on the foundation of operational excellence. Hi, I am Dr. Adil Dalal, founder and CEO of Pinnacle Process Solutions. For 20 years, we have empowered over 9,500 leaders across 25 industries and 5 continents and delivered savings from $1 million to $39 million via rapid transformations using AI, digital tools, lean, agile, and Six Sigma technologies. Through our award-winning workshops, lean AI frameworks, and human-centric coaching, we elevate culture, eliminate waste, and ignite sustainable operational excellence. Elevate your people, accelerate your performance. Visit pinnacleprocess.com and reach your pinnacle today. And we're back. Let's continue this powerful conversation. Welcome back to A Super Conscious Leader. Don't miss a second of the show or any of the Now Media TV favorites, streaming live or on demand, whenever and wherever you are. Grab the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to the lineup of bilingual programs, both in English and in Spanish. If you prefer podcasts, The Super Conscious Leader is also available on the Now Media website or on Roku app or iHeartRadio app. Please do not miss any shows because you are going to be at a loss of super conscious leadership techniques, which we are talking with guests like Nicole Anderson. So Nicole, welcome back to A Super Conscious Leader. In the final segment, I want to get a little bit about the AI. What are your thoughts on the impact of AI and leadership? What will be that blend of leadership which will be needed in future?
So the interesting thing is I attend bi-weekly, I attend an CEO leadership think tank, and we talk about technology and AI and things. And, you know, it's a very mixed version of people loving it and people hating it. And so all of them are leaders, right? And I think that, you know, for the most part, people are a little scared of it. They're a little intimidated, especially the leaders. But if they could realize like how much it could help propel them in their leadership abilities, sure, I think more would be excited about using it. But it's even like when we went going back to our first part of our interview where we were talking about the transparency and not really understanding what the communication mm-hmm. process would be. I don't think they really truly understand that it's a tool and that it can be used to help them even in communications with the employees. I tend to be a little bit more blunt and straightforward. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and it's not for any reason other than you ask me a question, I'm giving you an answer, right? Right. And so it helps to kind of soften that, right? And make, like I can use AI to, I put my sentence in and I say, hey, make this more compassionate. And so at that point, AI will shoot out something that's more compassionate and that sounds better to the employee. So I think that for leaders, it can be used as a tool to help propel their leadership if they use it correctly and to not be scared of it. Go in and do some research. They have free online classes or very inexpensive online classes now mm-hmm. that you can take for it.
Totally agree. I think there's a lot of fear on AI. And I just released a book called Lean AI. Applied AI is the way to go. But I'm also very, you know, to be honest, I do a lot of research on neuroscience of AI and how it will impact human brains. And that scares me a little bit because there is going to be a lot of impact. It depends on how we use it, especially our younger generation will be impacted, quite a bit. From a leader's point of view, I really believe what you're saying is absolutely correct. They need to embrace it. But at the same time, I think trust, privacy, ethics, those things will come out, you know, very, very important in the future of AI and leadership. if it's very easy to break the trust, to do things which are not ethical. You know, I'll give you an example from the employee side. You know, cloning has become very easy. So a remote employee could be there and you would not even know if it's a clone or it's come to that level. I'm telling you, I work a lot with AI and I'm telling you, it is very difficult to tell fake versus real and a clone versus a real person. Where do you think, put your HR hat on, Nicole, and tell me, how will you solve that problem in future?
It's already difficult. And it's interesting because I just had this conversation this morning with a friend. So it's okay. So funny. So there's an organization that I work with mm-hmm. that employees are not allowed to take photos inside the office, no video, no. Things like that. And when an employee posted something on social media and the photo looked as though it was from inside the building. However, you know, some AI photos seem a bit clearer or more pristine than like a regular like selfie or something like that. We could not tell at all if this was a real or a fake image. And so in order to do this, like we had to ask the employee, is this AI? Is this real? Is the employee going to admit that it's a real photo? We don't know. We have not gotten a response back on it. But I'm definitely going to keep people updated on how I believe that it is AI. Just because there's a few aspects of it. So I think in the workplace, it's going to become very difficult to be able to prove, you know, is something AI, is it real, which then can make disciplinary action very difficult and challenging.
Yeah. Also, it would be very easy for another employee to frame an employee or a leader with a fake picture out there, because once it's out there, people, you know, it's like, you know, it's over, right? It's very difficult to prove otherwise. And sometimes already actions are taken because companies don't want to be liable for anything. So they make immediate action, but it could be the wrong decision. So again, Nicole, what are we going to do? I know you love AI and I do too, but these are the challenges, you know, that's why I say is leaders will need to be super conscious. There has to be some other element which they will need to start using beyond what our current senses are to go ahead in future.
Well, I think we use AI to determine whether something is real or fake, right? I think we try to do that. And I'm pretty certain I just gave somebody a multi-million-dollar idea. So just remember where you got it from when you become a multimillionaire.
I'm a super conscious leader.
But I do believe that there's going to be a way that you're going to be able to come back and show, or be able to tell something is real or fake. I know like already in like some language, right, that people use in their writings and stuff like that, we can really tell that it's AI. Cause I'm like, wait a second, you don't talk like that in person, like at all. I was like, so I have one company that actually has a policy that they have to identify that they've used AI.
Yeah. And also AI lies quite a bit. It hallucinates and it tries to give you, you know, there have been a lot of legal challenges, you know, a lot of lawyers have been disbarred because they use totally wrong briefs. ChatGPT made it up and they didn't double check. But I've also seen it the other way, Nicole, is AI tends to score. So there is a software which would tell you, it's an LLM, but it will basically say if you're using a lot of AI and it scores, even if you have written it yourself, it sometimes scores it that it is a AI generated. So what do you do in that? It's still not a science. That is the problem.
No. And, you know, it's interesting. I was doing I was doing a lecture and in the lecture, we were pulling up and doing active AI while we were in the room. because it was for HR people. Okay. And we asked it a question. It actually pulled stuff from my book.
Oh, really?
Yes. The stuff, like, I was like, I was like, is this real? Yeah. And it wasn't even my, it wasn't my computer. So it wasn't like AI knew that it was me directly speaking to it. And I was like in shock. I was like, oh my gosh, it pulled my book. Like, and so I found it really interesting. It did give me credit though. I will say it did give me credit. Yeah. It did give me, you know, the whole bibliography that it needed to have. But I was like, I was just shocked. I was like, wow, this is me on ChatGPT.
Interesting, right? Yeah. It knows us, right? Because through the books and through our writing, you know, I write a lot for LinkedIn, I write for Forbes, and it starts quoting me in a lot of things which I am trying to research too, which is very interesting to see that. Let me take you a little bit, a few years from now, just put yourself into the situation. You're sitting in your HR chair, and then there is a human being comes in and a robot comes in. Okay, and they have a conflict. How are you going to handle that? Because this is my, you know, in my talk, I say it'll become HRNR, human robotics resources, right? Because it is human and robot resources, because no longer it will be just human. So you're going to ask AI for help. So what do you think it'll support, Nicole?
It's definitely going to support the robot. I think, you know, I think in that that scenario, it definitely is going to be difficult, you know, because, you know, AI and robots are supposed to be smarter than us, but they still don't have, they still don't have human emotion. I think care with the employee is the first step, is care with the employee and letting them understand that we're going to work through this and we're going to do what we can. However, there is, you know, the AI robot is probably going to be right, you know, by this point. So it's like, okay, we've got to kind of take it from there.
Yeah, it's not futuristic at all. It's happening. You know, a lot of companies, there are a few companies which have 50% robots and 50% human beings already. So there have been cases where robots needed lower temperatures, humans, you know, cannot perform. Guess who won? It's the robots who won. Machines are more expensive.
Yes.
You don't understand. So that's what's going to happen is in future, HR is going to have to shift thinking in a different way. It's not out of the ordinary. So where do you think, when I talk about super conscious leadership, what are your thoughts? What comes to your mind?
I think it's as a leader, I think it's learning about yourself subconsciously, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding the things that you do and the way that you act subconsciously that you don't necessarily see happen, but other people may see it happen. And I think it's about just identifying those subconscious behaviors and actions that you have and being more mindful of it so that when you have the ability to impact a workplace or impact an employee or the life cycle of an organization, that you're doing it the best possible way instead of from a hurt or trauma place.
Very true. And I think EQ, you know, bringing the whole self, the mind, body, spirit, the, because the only thing I feel the AI will have a better mind and probably a better body than us. Yes. What is left is our the spirit, which we can bring to work. And that is the differentiator which we'll have in the future is, you know, because I really believe AI is far superior to us in a lot of ways, right? I mean, we don't have access to the World Wide Web. We don't have access to all the books out there and everything. And, you know, we don't have a metal body. We are not the Iron Man, which will happen in future.
Yes, so, it will.
So we'll be definitely at a disadvantage as we go along. And that is why I think, you know, I really want to educate the leaders is you will need to perform in a different way. You will need to bring something else to the game. It won't be enough to just be yourself as you are right now. The game is changing very quickly. So you agree?
I do, 100%.
Great. So Nicole, once more, how do my audience find you?
So they find me at, they can find me on Instagram at NicoleAnderson5, LinkedIn, NicoleAndersonHR. They can find me at mendhr.com as well as hranswers@mendhr.com. And then if you want to find out more about our nonprofit that is doing a lot in the sexual, anti-sexual exploitation and trafficking arena, they can find it at loveinspiringlife.org.
Thank you, Nicole. Pleasure to have you on my show. Thank you, folks, for watching A Super Conscious Leader. Remember, in the age of AI, you do not need to be superhuman. You just need to be super conscious.